Good afternoon, 4:30 and 84 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
There's so much good that is going to come of this, so much good that can be done in this community.
Governor Bevin is talking about the decision by Brady Industries to build an aluminum plant in South Shore and employ more than 500 people. Ashland Global Holdings posts quarterly earnings of more than $100 million. And the 30th annual East Kentucky Leadership Conference gets underway tomorrow. In sports, the Reds hope to avoid the sweep this afternoon in the finale of their series with Milwaukee. Bud Luke has the stocks mostly clear tonight. Low of 62, the complete forecast after this news. Construction of an aluminum plant on 300 acres in Greenup County is expected to begin early next year. The announcement was made today by the chairman of Brady Industries and state and local officials. Craig Bouchard heads the firm. He says Brady will invest $1.3 billion in the operation and hire 550 employees. He says it won't look or operate like your father's factory.
No smokestacks. This isn't old-time stuff. We're going to have 500 people walking around with an iPad. Imagine that. It's going to look like Star Wars inside our buildings with what we do.
Bouchard says the facility near South Shore will produce 370,000 tons of aluminum annually for the auto and aerospace industries. The plant should be completed in 2020. Officials say construction jobs will number about 1,000. Greenup Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter has been the county's top elected official for more than two decades. The Democrat says the new aluminum plant is potentially transformative for the eastern Kentucky economy.
I've waited almost 24 years for a project like this. A project that will change the future of not only Greenup County, but for the entire region for many years to come.
The factory will span 2.5 million square feet, and average worker pay will be about $70,000 a year. Governor Matt Bevin is expecting the Brady investment to have a ripple effect in the area.
Look at the product that is going to be coming out of this mill. There is not enough supply to keep up with the demand that is being asked of this industry in America. As we move more and more toward automobiles, and of course aviation has always been there, but we continue to look for stronger, lighter materials. These are the very things that are going to be supplied out of this region.
State Senator Robin Webb says the new plant could be a catalyst for economic recovery in the region. The Carter County Democrat says that's especially important in the wake of declines in the coal and steel industries. Even though his county led Kentucky with an unemployment rate of nearly 19% in 2016, McGoffin Judge Executive Charles Doc Harden believes that figure will be reduced significantly in the near future. Harden says work continues on the new $9 million East Kentucky Industrial Park, which is being built just off a new interchange that's been constructed as part of the project to revamp and improve the Mountain Parkway.
We have awarded the contract for sewer, water and sewer, just this last week in the fiscal court, and that will be bringing water and sewer to several other residents, over 100 residents, on the way to the industrial park. So we will be promoting that more in the next year or so when we get all of the infrastructure in place.
Harden says McGoffin County is investing $350,000 in its new industrial park. It's getting $2 million from Kentucky's Coal Severance Fund, with the rest of the money coming from various state and federal sources. Ashland Global Holdings today reported earnings from the quarter ending March 31st of $102 million. The Covington-based specialty chemicals firm says that compares with earnings of $87 million for the same period last year. Ashland Chairman and CEO Bill Wolfson also announced the company's intentions of acquiring PharmaChem Laboratories by the end of June. He says Pharmachem, a leading supplier of fragrances and flavors for the health and wellness industries, will complement Ashland's current operations very well.
I think there are specific technologies that they bring, and they do have very specific chemistry technology they're bringing, along with their know-how and advanced manufacturing capabilities, will be very complementary to the businesses that we have, most specifically in the personal care and pharma nutrition.
Wolfson says the combining of Pharmachem and Ashland will also generate significant cash flow. A proposal to have the county start taxing some local insurance premiums probably has a better chance of getting through the fiscal court after next year's elections. That's the belief of Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Blevins says right now he doesn't have enough votes on the fiscal court to pass the idea, which was offered to the group recently by the Moorhead-Rowan County Recreation Committee as a way to pay for new recreation facilities and other community needs. The judge executive is urging Rowan Countyans to push their magistrates to support the plan.
The days of federal grants and state grants is just about over. Both those areas are struggling with debt, and you're just not seeing a lot of dollars coming out of the federal or the state government. So if people want to have things, you're going to have to look locally and pay for those things yourself.
Levin says having good recreation facilities is also a key economic development issue, since it's harder to lure new companies concerned about the livability of a community to Rowan County without them. Russell City Council members have decided against a proposal to rezone their downtown. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson has that story.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, council members voted no at the hearing on Monday after Greenup County Joint Planning Commission Chairman Tom Saylor mentioned that downtown residents said they didn't like the idea. The proposal suggested changing the city zoning in an effort to attract developers who would place residential units on the ground floors of vacant buildings downtown. Right now, ground floors can only be residentially used through a conditional use permit that must be annually renewed. The plans would have done away with that permit and allowed property owners to obtain an accessory use permit instead. Saylor said several residents expressed concerns about a lack of parking space, and the move would have an effect on existing buildings. He thinks at this point, changing the zone rule is not in the city's best interest. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Tomorrow marks the start of the 30th annual East Kentucky Leadership Conference. It runs through Friday on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University. The event's coordinator is Melissa Newman, who is EKU's Director of Regional Stewardship. Newman says the theme for this year's conference is transitioning Eastern Kentucky economy, workforce, and demographics, which is especially timely with the region working to become less dependent on its struggling coal industry.
As we are transitioning, we need to make sure that we're bringing everyone together, that we're not leaving people behind. And so just being able to inform and form the discussion and really get that rich communication where we know the intricacies of what's going on out there, I think that that's going to be really beneficial.
Among panel discussion topics tomorrow, information about the region's growing aerospace and adventure tourism industries and healthcare. WSAZ is reporting that three Ashland women have been indicted by a Boyd County grand jury on charges related to a sexual offense involving a juvenile with a mental disability. The indictments were returned against Tina and Rebecca Serba, who are both 38 years old, and 43-year-old Felicia Rowe. Rowe is charged with rape, and the Serbas are accused of complicity to rape. The women were arrested in February following an investigation by Ashland police. A Menifee County man charged with murder in the death of his wife entered a not guilty plea yesterday. WKYT reports Austin Prater was charged last week with murder, violating an emergency protective order, leaving the scene of an accident, and tampering with evidence. He is accused of running over his wife, Maria, and leaving her on the side of the road to die. Prater told investigators his wife fell out of the truck. Congressman James Comer is urging more Kentuckians to become organ donors. The Tompkinsville Republican made the appeal on the House floor Tuesday. He says almost 1,000 Kentucky residents are currently in need of a life-saving organ transplant. Many people say they support organ donor programs, Comer explains, but some actually don't join a registry.
95% of Americans are in favor of being a donor, but only 54% are registered. This is why registering to be an organ donor is so important.
Comer says the Kentucky legislature created an organ donor registry more than a decade ago, and it's a great way for people to have their wishes recorded electronically and securely. He says his field representative in the 1st District is the recipient of an organ transplant. And finally, this afternoon, St. Clair Regional Medical Center is hosting its 5th annual health event for women tomorrow afternoon and evening. It's taking place at the Moorhead Conference Center. Spokeswoman Valerie Campbell says it begins at 4 o'clock and lasts until 8.
The event is all about promoting health and education for women. And so we're offering over 11 free health screenings that women are going to be able to do, along with we have about 14 other health educational booths that will be set up.
Campbell says the health screenings begin at 4, and educational sessions and prize drawings are set for 6 o'clock. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Menifee, Mason, and Rowan. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 62. Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 1 p.m., increasing clouds and a high near 73. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 52. Friday, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 5 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 81. Friday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 63. And on Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 10 a.m., partly sunny, and the high of 83. Around the region, it is 84 degrees in Ashland, Inez, and Moorhead, 83 in Flemingsburg, Lexington, and Winchester. 4:43, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have our regular Wednesday feature, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. Adrian talks with Gracie Grant, who came to the U.S. from Argentina with her parents in 1959. She recalls her fear during childhood when Argentina was ruled by a military dictatorship, the positive influence of her father, and her lifelong love of music.
My name is Graciela Dirma Aurispa. I am known here as Miss Gracie Grant. I was born in Berisso, Buenos Aires, Argentina, August 6, 1945. My father was born in Noto, Sicily, Italy. When he was 3 years old, my grandparents brought him to Argentina. My mother, Paulina Julia Chesenko, was born to Russian parents. My grandparents came from Kiev when they were 15 and 16 years old to Argentina. My father, Rafael Aurispa, was in his youth a boxer, very well known in Argentina. When he was 30 years old, he went to seminary and became a preacher. And while he was serving his very first congregation, he met my mother, who was 18 years old, got married, and I was born after 2 years. My youth revolved around a house that was full of love, but most of my days were filled with anxiety and fear our lives could be threatened, especially my father's, being a preacher, because we were not allowed to congregate. The government would think that we were doing something against the government instead of being just an organization that met as a church. I was fearful of the police because a lot of people were disappearing, so I wanted to stay away from anything that had to do with that type of authority. I was afraid of that. If there was a plane going above our house, I would just run and hide. There were a lot of revolutions going on within the country, and there were bombings, mainly around Buenos Aires. Every day after school, I would be at my piano teacher's house for about 3 or 4 hours. My dad would take me to Buenos Aires once a month and take lessons from all the professors in the conservatory. The idea was that I was going to become a concert pianist. The Lord had other plans for my life. When I was about 12 years old, my father sent me to take special English classes. I didn't know this at the time, but my dad had gotten an opportunity to come to the United States. We arrived in the United States in 1959. I was 13. I have a brother, Eduardo Aurispa, who was 9 years old, and we came with just about nothing. Very humble beginnings, just grateful to have the opportunity to be free, to express ourselves and be without fear. In Laredo, my father became pastor of the largest and oldest Mexican Baptist church in the nation. My father was very insistent. No Spanish in the house. I was supposed to talk English, even if they didn't understand it. I went to Baylor, but my mother became very ill. So I would come home every weekend to clean house, cooking, and to iron my father's shirts. That was very difficult, and it was a long drive. Then I went to the University of Corpus Christi, which is now Texas A&M. And while I was there, I met my future husband, Dr. Don Grant, who was in the Navy. One day, I was practicing, and I heard somebody else playing the clarinet. So I went and I picked in the practice room, and all I could see is the back of a sailor uniform and this wonderful person that was playing the clarinet. So I closed the door and I didn't say anything. Eventually, he did the same thing with me. He went in there. He wanted to see who was practicing piano. I guess I was pretty good at the time. And we got married in December of 1968. And I did the best thing that I could have done was be with my husband, Don. After we got married, we moved to Bloomington, Indiana. It was there that I became proudly a citizen of this great country. We have 2 children. Pauline, she's married and has 2 wonderful children. We also have a son, Matthew Grant, and he works for the EPA.
Your love of music traveled with you down through the years.
I always knew I was going to do something with music. So I taught school for a few years, and then I became a private piano teacher. I've been teaching for 50 years now, especially lately since I have had an incident with my health. I just have that feeling of love and concern for others, and I think that comes from having a father that had inspired me all my life.
Gracie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That is Moorhead musician and piano teacher Gracie Grant as part of our series Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. It is a regular Wednesday feature on Mountain Edition. 4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds wrapped up their series with the Brewers in Milwaukee earlier today with a 9-4 loss. Starter Ricky Davis was the losing pitcher for the Reds after giving up 11 hits and 7 earned runs in just 2 2/3 innings pitched. The Brewers slumped the Reds last night 9-1. Cincinnati starter Scott Feldman had a tough time of it. His record fell to 1-2 after he walked 5 and allowed 4 runs in 5 innings.
For me, I got to come out and do a better job and, keep the pitch count under control. I think I spent about 27 pitches just trying to get Braun out three times. So, I got to do a better job with the pitch count and the walks.
The Reds have tomorrow off before starting a weekend series with St. Louis on Friday. One other afternoon game from the major leagues, the White Sox lead Kansas City 5-2 in the seventh inning. The Morehead State baseball team will try to bounce back from last night's loss at Miami of Ohio as the Eagles host Marshall at 5 o'clock at Allen Field. Even though it's a non-conference game, MSU coach Mike McGuire says regional bragging rights will be on the line against the Thundering Herd.
Yeah, and they're, having a solid year and obviously in Conference USA holding their own, so we kind of owe them a little bit. Felt like we should have beat them at their place and didn't. And that was kind of in the midst of a little tailspin we were in a few weeks ago. But hopefully we can get this one here.
Marshall beat MSU 4-3 a couple of weeks ago in Huntington. The Herd is 19-21 overall. The Morehead State softball team is in doubleheader action with East Tennessee State at University Field today. In the first game, the Eagles pulled out a 1-0 victory behind Chelsea McManaway's 13 strikeouts, giving her a school record 234 on the season. Currently in the second game of the day, the Eagles trail 2-0 in the third inning. At 25-18 on the year, with just 7 games remaining in the regular season, head coach David Williams says he thinks his team is playing their best ball of the year at the right time.
I think we're in a good place. We're starting to do some things that we were doing at the beginning of the year when everybody was healthy, and now that we've got everybody healthy again, we're starting to get back to some of the things we were doing at the beginning of the year, and I think our players are seeing the ball really well right now. I think we're hitting the ball better than we've hit it all season, so I think we're in a good spot as we head down the stretch.
The Eagles host Jacksonville State and Tennessee Tech for 4 home games this weekend. The Morehead State basketball program has signed another player for the 2017 class. 6'1 guard A.J. Hicks of Columbia State Community College in Tennessee signed his national letter of intent today with the Eagles. MSU head coach Preston Spradlin says Hicks will fill a major hole for his team next season.
AJ's a real scoring point guard for us, and a guy that's going to come in and be able to contribute right away. He makes your team better. He can really score the ball. He can get other guys involved. He's an All-American at the junior college level, and so we're real excited for him to come in and fill that void for us left by our senior guards this year.
Hicks averaged 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists a game last season for Columbia State. First-round action of the NBA playoffs continues tonight. At 6, Atlanta visits Washington for Game 5 of the series, followed by Chicago and Boston for Game 5 as well. Both series are tied at 2 games apiece. The Cincinnati Bengals are preparing for the 2017 NFL Draft, which starts tomorrow at 8 p.m. in Philadelphia. Head coach Marvin Lewis hopes the Bengals will be able to fill several needs during the draft, but admits that may not necessarily be an easy thing to do.
I think there's thinner positions than normal in this draft. And, but again, let's, 4 years from now, we'll better know that than we can today. But, at least going into it in our mind, there are some positions that are a little thinner than others, and maybe they've been in other years in respect to that.
DraftKings predicts the Bengals will likely be looking for help during the draft for their offensive line and at linebacker, running back, and wide receiver. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure is applauding the efforts of his players over the past month. Tenure says MSU recently concluded spring practices went exceptionally well.
Probably the most productive one we've had since I've been here as head coach. From day one to day 15, pretty solid. What I mean by that is the production of our players. And I think each week we progressed, each practice we progressed, and I think the product from the finish to the end was really outstanding.
The MSU football team kicks off its 2017 schedule at home on August the 31st against Kentucky Christian. The Morehead State men's golf team shot a 12-over par today to finish 26-over for the tournament to finish 8th in the OVC Conference Tournament. And finally, in sports, the Kentucky Derby contenders are off flying first class to Louisville. KNN's Will Clark has more.
The horses are passengers on Air Horse One, a 727 owned by Lexington-based Tech Sutton Forwarding that bills its service as first-class equine air travel. Operations manager Mike Payne.
They're a lot like people. They all have their own personalities. Some handle things better than others. Just depends on the horse's temperament and personality.
The trip to Louisville costs anywhere from $3,200 to $5,000 per horse one way. I'm Will Clark.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle baseball welcomes Eastern Illinois for three games this weekend. Eagle softball will host Jacksonville State for two games Saturday, and Tennessee Tech for two games on Sunday. More information from the Eagle ticket office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities struggled to hold gains as investors digested President Donald Trump's outline for tax reform while earnings season continued. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a small loss of 21.03 at 20,975.09. The S&P 500 was down 1.16 at 2387.45, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 0.27 at 6025.23. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 17 to 12 in favor of winning stocks over losers, indicating the broader market was stronger than the major indices. Top White House officials outlined President Trump's tax plan, a proposal they said would be the biggest tax cut in U.S. history. The proposal slashes the corporate tax to 15% from 35%. The White House added that there will be a one-time tax on the trillions of dollars held by corporations overseas. However, the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said the rate for that tax has yet to be determined. Retail stocks popped on the announcement as it revealed Trump's plan did not include a border adjustment tax. The SPDR S&P Retail Exchange Traded Fund rose more than 1%. Meanwhile, earnings season carried on with Pepsi, United Technologies, Procter & Gamble, and Twitter all posting better-than-expected profit. Twitter stock was up over 8% after reporting better-than-expected earnings as well as a rise in monthly users. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5% at $49.29 a barrel. Gold was up about 0.3% at $1,271.10 an ounce. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Verizon and United Technologies. The worst performers were Procter & Gamble and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Edwards Life Sciences and Wyndham Worldwide, and the worst performers were Seagate Technology and C.H. Robinson Worldwide. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $2.75 at $124.81, CSX down 15 cents at $50.79, AEP down 16 cents at $67.70, AK Steel up 5 cents at $6.45, Marathon Petroleum down 41 cents at $49.62, and U.S. Bancorp was up 2 cents to finish at $52.15. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
And here is a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area. Mostly clear tonight, low around 62. Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 1 p.m. Increasing clouds and a high near 73. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. Partly cloudy Thursday night with a low around 52. Around the region, 84 degrees in Ashland, 83 in Flemingsburg, 83 in Lexington and Winchester, 84 in Inez, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 84 degrees. And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, Victoria Agee, and Holly McClurkin. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.